Good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, Native American communities have been devastated by the COVID-19 pandemic with little, if any, help from the federal government. We'll hear from a local woman, a Lakota Dine spiritual leader, who's working to get badly needed supplies to reservations. John Lendorf will join us live from his kitchen for Radio Nibbles. And then coming up at 8:25, we'll devote the rest of the morning news to a Senate forum on racial justice. It took place last weekend, sponsored by the Colorado People of Color Collaborative. Andrew Romanoff and John Hickenlooper, both candidates in the Democratic primary happening this month, to be the candidate challenging Cory Gardner in November's election, were the two participants. We'll hear from them coming up at 8:25. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock yesterday walked arm in arm with protesters who had once again gathered in the thousands downtown for a seventh day of action, calling for an end to police brutality. The Denver Post reports that Hancock received a mostly warm reception from the crowd. One of the speakers who spoke at Civic Center Park called out Governor Jared Polis for not attending any of the protests. The governor had said earlier that he supports the peaceful protests, but he was not attending in person due to concerns over COVID-19. Quan Atlas, who is an aide to Mayor Michael Hancock, also spoke to the crowd, and he shared his own experiences of racism growing up black. He promised the crowd that cops are going to start getting fired. However, Public Safety Director Murphy Robinson later tweeted that the Denver Police Department is working tirelessly to make sure demonstrations are safe and accessible to all who want to join. He added that it's not the job of the mayor's aides, nor do they have the authority to decide who gets disciplined in the Department of Public Safety. Crowds gathered in other Colorado cities. In Longmont, a man was arrested Wednesday night for threatening peaceful protesters with a hatchet. About 30 people had gathered downtown in solidarity with the protests happening around the country. The Times Call reports that the man was arrested on suspicion of felony menacing, inciting a riot, and criminal mischief. On Wednesday, lawmakers at the State House voted an initial approval for a new budget, grappling with a projected $3.3 billion state revenue shortfall as a result of the economic fallout of the coronavirus pandemic. The budget will have to cut more than 21% overall, and it now moves to the Senate. In today's weather, expect warm temperatures, highs in the upper 80s, with that chance of afternoon thunderstorms. It is 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. Native Americans have been vastly disproportionately impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. It has been devastating, and many reservations and tribal governments are struggling to get access to PPE and ventilators. Well, Dr. Maria Michael is an Indigenous elder and healer who's been involved in divestment actions in California and Colorado. She is working here locally to raise money and to also access emergency equipment and to give them out to local reservations.
As a Lakota Dene Indigenous spiritual leader, one of the problems has been all the reservations are suffering. So we need to say that. It is not just the Dene Navajo Reservation or the Hopi Reservation. All of them are suffering because Indian Health Services does not have the supplies or the PPE that they need. So, for example, on the Dene Reservation, which encompasses two states, 27,000 square miles, it's long distances in between where people live. More than a third to a half have no water, running water, or electricity still in this day and age. And so the reason we've started focusing there is because they do not even have the water to wash their hands to keep themselves safe from the corona pandemic. You don't have water. How do you keep yourself and your family safe? And if you don't have water to drink, the reservation is also still very much contaminated from the uranium mining in the 1950s that was never cleaned up by the U.S. government and still to this day refuses to be cleaned up. And so the tribal government has to provide bottled water to those, a very specific large area of people. The problem is financially they also can't keep that up. And so what happens is when the bottled water stops coming in, the people start drinking the contaminated water because there is no other source of water. And children are being born with heavy metal toxins, being irradiated, Geiger counters register still. And so it's horrific living situations before the pandemic, let alone now that the pandemic has hit. We have been doing a GoFundMe, which started actually as a result of being up in the mountains and the spirits asking us to focus our efforts in that area. And within 3.5 weeks, we have raised $8,100. $3,000 has gone out to give to specific supplies and to get people, you know, people need gas to travel, to deliver. You know, one of our relatives spent $500 and put a water tank on the back of his pickup truck just to go and start to deliver water to remote areas. There are the doctors and the nurses and all the frontline people. There are 4 hospitals on the reservation, 2 which are 4 that are Indian Health Services and 2 that are not. But there are also clinics. There are recovery centers, makeshift recovery centers in high schools that are being set up. And none of them have PPE. None of them have booties. None of them have disposable gowns. None of them have N95 masks. All these frontline workers are working. It is twice as bad as New York was, and none of these people are protected. And they are all on the front lines giving their lives to try to save their people. On top of it, people are dying, and there's no way to have funerals. There's no way to have traditional ceremonies to give the families any kind of closing, just like it's happening out here in off the reservations. And so it's just spreading like wildfire. And it's, all you do is you hear people crying all the time. We can hear it from here. We hear it in our heart when we talk to our relatives. We had a couple of them on. We do a Zoom prayer every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock Mountain Time. And sometimes we're singing with the drum, but it's open to all races, all genders, all people of all walks of life. We've had people from Kenya on. We've had all different kinds of people from around the world join us. And so it's about practicing metta kyoase, which in our tradition means we're all related. And if we could all act like that and practice that walk like that, we wouldn't be where we are right now in this pandemic. It wouldn't be a me versus you kind of attitude or behavior. And we're not saying that everyone's doing that. We've had incredible amounts of people come out of nowhere donating and passing the word along, trying to help. So we will be buying more water tanks. A lot of what we're also having to pay for is these people who are driving to remote areas, you know, because the roads aren't paved, you know, their alignments go out, axles get bent, things like that. But they are trying to get to the people who have no way to get to even where the food is coming. We were able to reach out to the World Central Kitchen, to Jose Andres, the first week of May, and wrote a heartfelt email asking for help. And if you go on our website at www.drmariamichael.com, he actually made a talk, and he was at Rough Rock, Arizona, donating boxes of food and promised to keep helping the First Nations people. That was just one of his stops. I mean, there are people, we're not sure if they are still there and going through the reservation. Communication is very hard on the reservation because a lot of times there's not enough cell bars for people to even communicate with each other. So even if they're in need, many times we don't even know who's in need. So there are chapter houses that our different Sundance relatives that are on the ground, boots on the ground, are contacting and are getting the names of the people who are most endangered, the elderly, the disabled, the special needs population, and those who are coming back from the hospitals. But they also need special generators and equipment so that they can run the lung apparatus, but they don't have electricity. So we're trying to start looking into what does it cost to buy a generator And can you have small ones? Are generators, they have to be a certain kind for medical equipment? So the list is pretty endless.
Well, the current pandemic has really shone a spotlight on the existing inequalities that were already there. And you mentioned the fact that people were already living with environmental degradation, with uranium contamination, with no running water. In 2020, there are people, First Nation people in this country, without access to clean running water. And of course, the pandemic has just exacerbated all of this. You also mentioned that you're trying to foster this idea, particularly with the weekly Zoom prayers, that we're all in this together and we're all family and that we're not all fighting each other for resources. It does seem that the federal response to this has led us to a situation where we are pitted against each other, where you do have governors of individual states fighting each other, almost trying to outbid each other to get access to PPE and to ventilators. And of course, the federal response has been woefully inadequate when it comes to First Nations communities. And in fact, we've heard stories of body bags being delivered instead of PPE. Put this into the broader context of this, that this hasn't happened in a vacuum. The fact that First Nation people and people on the reservations have been vastly disproportionately impacted by this crisis.
And it's not just, it's a crisis before this crisis. I mean, 2 weeks after the person in the White House got in, whose name goes nameless, because in our tradition, he doesn't deserve to have his name spoken. He started uranium mining in Pine Ridge. No one knows about it, but there is no following of any rule of law or any rule of treaty. So it's all the reservations are being abused in that way. Things are going on. He tried to open the coal plants on the Dene Reservation. He's doing things that are unconscionable. And they just delivered $3 million worth of completely unusable N95 masks that were all contaminated and destroyed, and that's what they sent to IHS in the Dene Reservation. It actually got documented. We're trying to get political involved to try to expose some of these things that are happening. And there's money that's been sent, but the government is holding the money up till, and they said they'll maybe be able to review it by December 30th of 2020. And by that time, we don't think we'll have to worry about a lot of people by that time. And so that's part of the 600 million, that's part of why we're starting with this reservation. It's not that this is the only reservation. It is just the starting point. Our hope is we go from the Dene Reservation, get them to some kind of baseline with the Hopi Reservation, and then start working our way around if we have the energy and the money from, we've had incredible people. We've had someone from Texas, the University of Texas, I can give you the names, Ursula, who made 3D masks. They're starting to make 3D masks on 3D printers and sending them to our four relatives who then go out to four different areas on the reservation trying to hand them out. We had one relative just drive down to the reservation that's now been cut in half by the border wall, where they can't even speak to their own relatives, and you have to pass things through a holes in the border wall that isn't finished. So one of our relatives went down and carefully went down and brought down hand-sewn masks. Boulder Mask Makers has been incredible sewing masks and mailing them. Natasha Rigg has been absolutely wonderful. We just contacted Hidden Treasures too, asking them as well to make masks, but they are also overwhelmed with how many people in Longmont and Longmont hospitals and local area people need help. But we've had an incredible outpouring. There's a man named Alan Starner here in Longmont who made 40 heavy-duty face shields so that in your world they're called medicine people, in our world they're called holy people. There is a difference. We don't use the word shaman, although a lot of people in Boulder and California and lots of places like that talk about shamanic journeying and being shamans. That word shama comes from the Mongolian people, and shama means holy person. So in some of the traditions, they don't have a name for that holy person, but everybody knows who they are. So Alan Starna has been incredible. He has handmade 40 of them for these people so that they can go out. And Diane Ward has made 40 of the face masks underneath so that they can be somewhat protected. And now we're looking to do gowns from the weight, from the neck down, because there's no PPE, so that they can be washed and boiled or dried in the heat of the sun. Since it's 110 degrees already out there, you know, the virus won't live in that heat, you know, on the cloth. And so we're trying to get the holy people out so that they can help pray with the people. So that has just been mailed out. And we've mailed out, we got the Seva International, is a Hindu organization, donated 300 surgical masks. Dr. Patil, who's an orthodontist in Longmont, donated his own booties from his office, two packages, because we don't even have booties. But it's so expensive to buy the PPE. As you said, the governors are fighting amongst themselves. You can imagine what it costs an individual to try to buy a volume of disposable gowns. You can't even find N95 masks at a price that's reasonable. It's under $60, $75 for one. And so we're just trying the best we can, and we're grateful that you're having us on, so that anyone who might be listening who has any contacts anywhere for hand sewn masks, face shields, PPE, N95s, we need help. People should not be working on the front lines with absolutely no protection. It's terrifying.
That's Dr. Maria Michael. You can find out more about the GoFundMe account that's been set up to raise needed funds to get supplies to the Hopi and Diné reservations. You can also find out about the weekly Zoom prayer and contact Dr. Michael about all of this at her website. It's drmariamichael.com. That's drmariamichael.com. DrMariaMichael.com, and we'll put more information at news.kgnu.org. It is 8:21. It's time now for Radio Nibbles.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy.
Everybody Eats on Thursday mornings. John Lendorf joining us live from his kitchen in Louisville for Radio Nibbles. And while there is some bad news, there's also some good and, you know, pretty important food news that we've had in the recent weeks, John. We've seen restaurants reopening for a start.
Yeah, I mean, they were open for takeout, but that could only go so far to keep places open. Now they're open for sit-down dining, but there's major restrictions. The major thing that you'll notice is that there's this expanded outdoor dining. I haven't actually eaten at a restaurant yet. I don't know about you.
I have not.
Remember that the if I find the right, you know, it'll take time to get there, I guess. Remember that you have to wear a mask through the end of June at least, and that you can still take out liquor sales will probably continue indefinitely from restaurants.
Well, I know that some local places that our listeners will be familiar with, like Rosetta Hall and the Walnut Cafe, have reopened. Now, there are some pretty major restrictions in terms of social distancing, as you mentioned, expanded outdoor dining as well.
Yeah, and a lot of other, you know, sort of, you need to look at each place. A lot of places have reservations now that didn't have them, so you need to actually call ahead, and that way you know you can actually actually get in. The owners are excited to get back into business, but it's a little terrifying, you know, to figure out how to do it safely.
Well, while restaurants are reopening for in-person dining, we're seeing additional closures now. This week it was announced that the Boulder County Fair for 2020 would not take place at the fairgrounds. There will be some virtual events, but people will not be able to gather at the fairgrounds this year.
Right. I also wanted to give a shout out to CHOW. That's capital C, capital H-O-W. It's short for Colorado Culinary Hospitality Outreach and Wellness. It was started by bakers and restaurant people. Basically, it was in response to cases of addiction and suicide in the hospitality business. It's always been that way, but it's finally being recognized. And this was before COVID and the recession and everything else. And if you work in the business, if you're a chef or a server or owner, a farmer, a supplier, anybody in the business, you can join the group, and they have support meetings weekly and resources available to help a group of people who have who've really gone through an awful lot in the past few months.
Well, in other food news, of course, our friends at Community Food Rescue distributing food. But let's look at how they're working with fruit, because there's so much fruit that's growing in people's yards on public land that often falls to the ground, will rot, get wasted, maybe attract bears if you're far enough into the wilderness areas, or even if you're just in western parts of Boulder. They're actually hosting a virtual happy hour fundraiser that's happening today.
Right. It's at 5:30. The organization will glean the fruit from your yard or any place else. You just need to let them know that they have it. Today they're having a virtual happy hour on Zoom with Woody Tash, who's a wonderful speaker, talking about slow money and other issues. And Boco Cider is open today, offering a cider whose sales support the organization.
Well, people can find out more at fruitrescue.org. In other fruit news, there's an orchard restoration project I know you want to mention.
Yeah, I just love the Montezuma Orchard Restoration Project. What it's done is they it's some of those same trees that Community Food Rescue is gleaning from. You know, a tree in a field that's been there 100 years and it turns out to be an heirloom apple. You can grow an heirloom apple tree by supporting Montezuma, and it's MontezumaOrchard.org.
Well, of course, we always want to remind people that there are ways that you can help people who are going hungry right now. EFA is one of the agencies locally that's supporting families, and that people can donate directly to them. And 3/4 of the beneficiaries include families with children, and also within the Latinx community as well. Many local organizations, but definitely want to give a shout out to EFA.
Yeah, emergency family assistance. If you're sitting there going, what can I do? This is a horrible situation. This is a practical thing you can do that really helps people who are in dire need, especially right now.
Well, John, in the last couple of seconds, what's the best thing you've tasted lately?
I made a wonderful quick chicken curry with bottled curry paste broth and coconut milk, and then I juiced a big watermelon, and so I had curry and iced watermelon juice, and made me pretty happy.
Well, you can find John's feature on Colorado Company's Upcycling Food Waste. That's at his blog, johnlindorf.wordpress.com.
Please buy your vegetables at a local farm stand.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.